All right, welcome back everyone to the Athlete's Mind podcast. I'm super excited for this one. We are back with the MMA episodes. Those of you who have been following Athlete's Mind for a while know that I love the MMA episodes. We don't do enough of them, but it's great to be back. So today we have Lorenz Araneda from LCA, MMA fighter. I'm super pumped for this. I know there's a particular group of you that really have been messaging me lately, like, where are the MMA episodes? So here we are. So how are you? Thank you for joining us. How's training been going?
Happy to be here. Training's been going great. Obviously, we just talked like 5 minutes ago about me, Quillen and Spencer just getting straight back in after our fights on Eternal 82. I'm actually trying to fight right now on Domination MMA.
Cool.
In like, I think 4 or 5 weeks.
Oh, nice. So it's a quick turnaround.
Yeah. So I've been staying sharp, but I mean, I'm not too fussed what happens. I mean, happy days if I don't, if I do. So
yeah, cool. I mean, yeah, because we will talk a little bit about Eternal 82 a bit later. But the first question we always ask our athletes when they come on our podcast is just a bit of a backstory. So where did your MMA journey actually start? Did you start from a young age, later on? How did you find that passion for the sport?
So I think it's kind of normal for a lot of people to start when they get bullied, a lot of youngsters. So when my journey started was I was going to Safety Bay senior high school and I got beat up really bad. I was just sitting at my desk and this guy, I personally don't think he liked me. He just had it out for me. I was just a happy kid, but I stayed away from like certain groups. I had like 2 or 3 friends and he just, like, I remember just him coming up to me. I actually remember his name. His name is Jordan Grimes. He actually follows me on social media. Geez,
well, so look at that.
No hate on him now. It's in the past. But, I remember him just saying something that I was talking about his mum, and I don't even recall anything like that. And he just started throwing punches. And I was like, wow. Like, I just remember shelling up in the corner and just crying. I was like, wow. So after that, I decided to make a – It wasn't like proper MMA. It was just like MMA fitness. So cool. I started going to Strike MMA, and that was maybe about a year later. So during that time, I had from getting beat up to then, I was actually quite depressed. So my dad actually forced me to start doing it because he could see that I wasn't like 100%. I was unhappy, and I was playing high level soccer at the time. So like I wasn't performing because of how unhappy I was. So eventually I started doing MMA fitness, and then I think after that I started actually like progressing and I was like, okay, I want to fight. So that was like a good 2 or 3 years of training, and then I think 2017 or 18 was when I had like my first fight. So that's where it all started.
Yeah, and you mentioned like the guy that beat you up, like how he follows you on Instagram now. Has he like reached out to you and been like, oh shit, like you're actually fighting like really high level? Is he like surprised?
No, he hasn't reached out to me. I personally, like with what I've seen from like his post, I feel like this is a bit judgmental and I don't mean to be to him. Sorry for that, Jordan. I don't think he doesn't look like a guy that's changed at all. Which, I mean, necessarily, I'm not going to say it's a bad thing, it's whatever. But yeah, in my opinion, just the way he, like what he posts and whatnot, him on his stories and his, like regular posts, he doesn't look like he's changed.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I mean, it would be like if it was me on the other end, I saw him and I'm like, oh, that's fucking
sick. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's probably been looking at your fights and being like, shit, like he's actually doing some crazy stuff. But, you know, I want to sort of ask, like, with your MMA journey, when you mentioned that you joined it sort of for that fitness side. When you joined, do you think, like, where you are now and when you started, do you think you, like, when you joined, like, yeah, I want to fight, I want to achieve all these things, or did you just go into it like, I'm just going to just hit the bag, let out my emotions? Did you think you would get to where you are now?
Honestly, I didn't. I thought I was, at first I was too scared. Like I didn't know what I was doing. And then eventually I remember doing like an interclub and I got beat up really bad. I think the first 30 seconds I just got like punched like 4 or 5 times. And then I got I got rear naked choked. He took my back, slammed me. And then so it was then when I was like, oh, okay, like I want to try this out. So that's where like the switch flipped and I was like, okay, this is going to be like a good hard like couple years of work. There was a couple of times where I almost quit though. I was like, this isn't for me. I think I should just keep training and not fight. But I eventually got there. I think 2019 was like my first fight.
Yeah. But yeah, I've noticed like with combat sports, not just MMA, like it really is a humbling experience when you have like your first spar or your first like sort of fight. Because even with me, like I've done a little bit of boxing and the first spar I had, I just got my head knocked in. Like it's just crazy. So, you know, but I think two things happen when people get into combat sports after their first spar. They either, they're like, not for me, or they actually be like, I'm actually going to try and improve and get better at this. And that's obviously what you decide to do. And looking at where you are now, like I'm sure you could probably say that MMA has changed your life, right?
It definitely has. I mean, I might as well give a backstory of last year. Yeah. Last year was probably one of the hardest years of my life. I went through a real tough breakup, and I think that set the tone for the year. I was still at Strike, and I think I fought Stephen Wong, who trains at LCA. He's 5-2, really good fighter, who I have a lot of respect for. We fought, and I obviously lost, but the decision I was making prior to that was, if I lose, I'm leaving to LCA, and if I win, I'm going to stay. So I think it was a blessing in disguise that I lost, because now I'm at LCA, which is probably the best thing that's ever happened. That, I think, I feel like that's changed my life. But during that time, I remember the first 2 weeks of rocking up to LCA, and I was sparring Quillen. And we would, it wasn't too crazy, but we both went in for a shot, like a takedown, and his shoulder just broke my nose. Like it just cracked. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and I remember I was getting ready to, I think to go to Melbourne to fight someone. So that was out of the picture. So I was out for like 3 or 4 months, and I didn't know what to do. So I started doing marathons, which was real cool, I guess, but it wasn't like the same as MMA training.
Yeah, no way.
And then I ended up going back to training after it was healed, and I got an intestinal infection. If no one knows what that is, it's basically when you consume something contaminated, and it just ruins your body like completely. So I was like pretty much a vegetable for 3 or 4 months. I was basically wasn't even working. Like I was just sleeping, trying to recover as best as I could. And in that time frame, I think there was a good, I think there was a good 3 or 4 months where I became super depressed, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't talk to my family, didn't talk to anyone. And I think a good 2 weeks, I was like on the verge of wanting to kill myself. There was one time where I almost did, and that whole 2 weeks, I think I ended up just surrendering to God. If a lot of people know me, I'm like a big believer in God. I take pride in that, and he saved me. Because if I didn't pray or anything, I reckon I would have been dead if it wasn't for that. I was having sleep paralysis and everything. Jeez. Like it was bad. Like I remember, like I could hear my door slamming, and I was trying to like scream. I couldn't scream. Just like my wardrobe door like opening and shutting. It was one of the craziest things I ever experienced. But obviously, I went through that, and I realized I was missing something. Like I was talking to God and praying to Him, but I realized I was missing something, and I think that was just to talk to someone in person, which I ended up doing, talking to my family at the start, but we were all going through stuff. So I eventually got to my psychologist, and actually on the day I went to see my psychologist, my brother, he got put into hospital. You might be mad if I talk about
it. If you're not comfortable saying it, it's all good.
Look, I love him, and he knows I love him, so I'm going to say it anyways. My brother's like, his past is being an alcoholic. I don't know if that's the right term. Past or whatever, but anyways,
I get what you mean.
He was just having like real bad pains. I remember him just screaming, screaming, and he didn't know what to do. It was like the best way I described it was if you picture someone like rolling in a ball of fire and they just can't get rid of the fire. That's what it was like. And so obviously the ambulance got him. It turns out it was his pancreas, and apparently that's one of the worst pains you can ever have in the body. So he went through that, and then he was about to die like a day later. They put him in induced coma, and he was in a coma for about a month, I believe. Wow. And thankfully that saved him. And before that, like me and my family were like super, like we were very disconnected, very dysfunctional family. And then once that happened and he was better, I believe like my family became like super close. We all became one. It was like a pact, and it was amazing. But yeah, I remember just going to talk to my psychologist, and I just cried to her. I just let everything out. And after that, I felt pretty good. Like I felt great. So after I was doing that, I was praying and I started getting better. Like, I started healing, my body started healing, and then that's where just everything changed for me. Mm-hmm. And changed for my family. So after that, I remember just going back to, and I was trying to fight in that time, because I didn't know what else to do. Yeah. So, and it was like God was telling me, nah, you can't fight right now. Like, you're not in a good place. And I didn't see that. And then once I got healed, I remember being back to training for like a month. I think it was November. And then Jasmine, I don't know if you know Jasmine.
Yeah, I know
Frank.
Jasmine.
She's Quillen's flight manager and Cody's flight manager. Yep. Lovely. I love you, Jasmine.
She's very, very nice.
She was like, Lorenz, do you wanna fight? I was like, yeah, get me on. Yeah. Like, and I remember saying like to myself, look, if you get a fight, it's meant to be. If you don't, then it's not. And they told me half a year. I was like, this is gonna be a good 2-3 months of training. And now here we are after an amazing victory against a young and up and coming prospect.
Yeah, geez, it really sounds like that year for you was like a really bumpy road. And from what I'm getting, like I guess if you want to narrow it down, like the three main things that really helped you was God, LCA, and speaking to someone about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to touch on LCA a little bit, dive into that a little bit more. Obviously, you've got Ramel, you mentioned Jasmine, all the other fighters. I've obviously had the blessing to come down and film a little bit of you guys as well. And geez, like, you guys are, you train the house down. You guys are crazy. So talk a little bit about that. Like, how's Ramel been, first of all? Obviously, great coach.
Oh, man, he never changes. He's always don't get angry at Ramel. Like, don't get angry at me, Ramel, but he's a bit of a smart ass, which I love. He's always cracking jokes. I think Ramel, like, you go in there and he's just so family orientated, especially, like, I see him with his kids and his wife. He just loves them and he brings that energy into MMA, like, into the gym. So when you see him, like, you just want to give him a hug. Like, always, I don't give him a hug too much, but like, whenever I get the chance, I want to, like, just give him a hug. And alongside of that, he's just so funny.
Yeah,
like,
he is funny. Yeah.
And I can't not... Every time, like, I see him, I just want to laugh because I'm like, this is going to be a funny day. Like, as well as, it is a hard day, it's going to be a funny day. Like, today, for example, I remember, like, just giving him the side eye because I was trying to prepare myself because I was like, I knew, like, I'm going to be sparring Cody at least, like, 4 or 5 rounds. Cody Haddon. If you anyways don't know who Cody Haddon is, he's fucking... He's
great fighter.
Yeah,
great
fighter. And scary. But anyways, I was shadow boxing, just doing my thing. He was like, Lorenz, was like, oh, what, man? What do you want? What do you want now? He was like, hey, bro, you got the duty. Yeah. You got the duties today. Take care of Cody. I'm like, bro, he's taking care of me. Like,
yeah.
So, shit, yeah, he's doing, sorry if I'm not allowed profanity, my bad.
That's all good, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, he's doing wonderful.
Yeah, no, honestly, like, it's funny because even when I came down, like, Ramel was super welcoming to me because, like, I've done a little bit of boxing, like I mentioned before, but going to an MMA gym was like, I wouldn't say it was intimidating. It was just like a little bit out of my comfort zone, you know, like seeing guys that like fight and everything. And Ramel came straight up to me, shook my hand. He's like, how you going, mate? Like, you know, so that is so crucial to have. And you haven't trained at LCA all your life. You mentioned that you were Strike MMA.
Strike MMA, yeah.
Yeah. So that switch to LCA, I guess, how was that? Because obviously not being at the gym your whole life, what are kind of the differences? Obviously, without talking bad about your previous gym, what would you say are the differences between LCA and your old gym?
Strike MMA, I've always loved. I've never had any hate relationship, even with my coach. He obviously felt pretty upset that I was leaving, and there was a lot of backlash from that. But I don't hate him for that. I actually have a lot of love for him, Dave Johnson, and everyone at the gym was beautiful. They all loved me and I loved them. But I think just, like, to be fair, we only had, like, 2-3 fighters, and one of those fighters is an absolute machine, Caleb Steinockel. He's had 10 fights.
Yeah,
He does FIFO, so I basically didn't really get enough of him. And my coach, I mean, not to be rude, but I think he was more of a businessman than an actual coach. So he wouldn't sacrifice enough than what Ramel would do. Like, Ramel sacrifices everything for us. Like, he cancels trips, like, family time. Like, he cancels so much for us. So going from that and then being in a gym surrounded by not only killers but just beautiful people that are talented was just a big change for me. Like, it was amazing, and I always think about it. Like, it makes me happy every time I go to the gym. I go to the gym with, like, a smile, like, skipping to the gym pretty much.
Yeah, that's what matters, man. Like, the gym, it's just so – it makes such a big impact on your life, like, the people you're hanging around and everything. Mm-hmm. Now, talking about your recent fight against Harvey Youngman, obviously, you got the win, unanimous decision. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Secondly, how was the overall feeling of, you know, getting your hand raised and ultimately getting that win?
Man, it was a long time coming. And just, I think it's not even the hand raised. I think it's just the performance I was able to display on the night, because I knew I'd put on a dominant performance. And going, like, previously, I remember there was someone that said something to me who I had a lot of love for, and they were like to me, "How are you supposed to train with killers if you're not a killer?" And that really that really sat with me, like, for a long time, and it would upset me. So I think, like, even on the day of the fight, I was nervous, because that was probably the longest time I've ever been out of, the cage. And I wasn't sure. Like, it was funny, because I wasn't sure how I was going to win, but I was like, I know I'm going to get my hand raised. I was supremely confident. I remember that day we did pads in the morning. Then I sat there watching the guys spar all day, just being around it, just to, like, just to stay calm. And then I remember on the way to the venue, I was just, like, praying and crying, because I was, like, I could see, like, the vision of me getting my hand raised, and I was just, like, crying, and I was, like, screaming worship music. It was the funniest thing, like, just in this small car on the way. People were probably just staring at me like, this guy must be a crackhead or something. But, yeah, we got to the venue, and then I think once – I was pretty nervous. I wasn't, like, shaking with nerves, but once I got in the cage – I was like, bro, like, I do this shit every day. Like, Quillen, like, with Quillen and Cody, they were my main sparring partners, like, for the fight. So I was just like, Harvey, like, with all due respect, you're not on Quillen or Cody's level. Yeah. So I remember, like, I was in the fight and I was, like, talking to God. I was like, we got this, man. Like, we're going to win. Like,
right, though,
yeah, it was cool. Like, even, like, I was even talking to Harvey. I was like, and Harvey's a great fighter. Like, he's a scary guy for anyone. So I don't see him losing after my fight. No offense to anyone else. Mm. But I remember just being like to him, like, Harvey, this is my night. Like, yeah. I was in there. So it was good. And then just seeing, like, I remember, like, looking to the left, and my dad's, like, there in the crowd. He's like, screaming, "Lorenz, I love you." I was like, "Dad, I freaking love you." It was
that's
good.
That's great, man.
I think, like, apart from, like, me winning, just being, I did that one for my family. Like, I just wanted to see my family happy, and they were so happy. Like, my parents were crying. Like, I remember getting home that night, and my mum was there waiting for me, and I just sat down, just started crying in her arms, and I was like, "We did it, Mum! Like, we're here now. Like, we're here." Everything, it makes me a little emotional just talking about it.
Yeah, right. The emotion of, like, going into a fight, like, I can't imagine it, man. Like, making your supporters, your friends, your family proud, like, that is massive. Like, and what about, like, the adrenaline, like, walking out to HBF Stadium? Like, I was actually at the fight, and
really?
Yeah, okay. The crowd was amazing, bro. It was crazy. So, talk about that. Like, how was the adrenaline?
Honestly, I'm not gonna lie, like, I was pretty chill. Like, I didn't even realize the crowd. I can't even remember the song I played. I think it was Daddy Yankee, Your Boy.
Like,
everyone was telling me how sick of a song that was. It was a pretty good song, I'm not gonna lie, boast myself about the song. But I think I was just locked in. I was, like, ready to go. I was raring to go. Like, I remember even at the weigh-ins, like, I was twitching a little bit, like, my fingers, because I was like, I'm so excited to fight again. So the adrenaline wasn't too high. I think the nerves were more high than the adrenaline. But yeah, once I stepped in, I was, like, eased out. I was like, okay, we're ready for war.
Yeah, and what about, like, in the locker room? Like, I guess, what is your, like, routine? Because a lot of fighters and just athletes in general that I've interviewed on here, they like to have different routines. Like, a lot of them like to listen to music. They like to just be more reserved, chill. What is your sort of routine in the locker room before you make that walkout?
So, basically, I'll just say hi to everyone. Like, just greet everyone. And then I basically just put my headphones in and just listen. I honestly don't listen to too much music apart from worship now. Like, I can't go anywhere without, like, the Lord, I'm not going to lie. Actually, on the way here, I was listening to, like, Migos, though. because I knew I wasn't, like, getting ready to, like, spar Cody. I'll listen to, like, worship music. Then I'll get my hands right while I'm doing that. And then I'll go on a corner, just pray. and then I'll get my pads done, and then that's pretty much it. We're locked in, we're ready, and I just like I give myself like affirmations like, Lorenz, you're ready. You've done everything you've needed to do.
Yeah.
Your weight cut was amazing. You've worked with the best of the best. Now go out there and do what you've been doing the last 3 months.
So self-talk, I guess, is a really big thing for you. Yeah. Now, I did want to sort of ask a little bit about going into that schedule of your whole life with MMA. How have you sort of balanced everyday life with your MMA training? Like, no doubt you've mentioned that you love training, you love going to LCA, and that's a huge thing. But is it something that you've struggled with a little bit, balancing it with everything else that you're doing in your life?
At first it was. I remember like calling Jasmine when I started like getting back into training. I was a bit freaked out. I was unsure what to do. I was working full time, and it's what stressed me out was Ramel, because of the knowledge he has. I didn't want to miss any class. Like, I wanted to be there every single day. And most of the fighters train in the day, so I wanted to get that work in with them. But now I've pretty much sacrificed everything, even like money. I only work 2 days a week. I get paid like no shit, $400 a week. So it's basically just like barely like living. But like I'm able to work, like it's enough for me to pay my rent and my food and my fuel, and I'm like all good. If I have like leftover, I'll go out and have some like a little burger or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the first it was hard, but now I've been able to just work my those shoes and then just train all week.
And now, talking about people you actually look up to for advice and sort of people in your corner, obviously this is a really hard question, because every time I ask someone this question, like, they find it hard to answer because it's just such a long list of supporters and everything. But I guess if you could narrow it down to a couple people, like, who is that person in your life that whenever like you maybe you're struggling or you just go to talk to someone, who is that person? Like, obviously you got Jasmine, you got Ramel, you got the fighters. Who is someone that you would say is that person for you?
I'm glad you sent me the message yesterday, because I actually was like, okay, I thought about it and I was like, oh, okay, I've really got this down pat. But like, this is gonna sound cliche for anyone, but the first one would probably have to be Jesus, and then the second one would have to be my little sister Beth.
Cool.
We've all got, like, even myself, I look at myself now and look up to myself. We've all got one thing in common. We went from terrible times to now, like, peaceful times, which is right now. Like, my sister, I'm sure she won't mind if I say this. She'll be like, yeah, look at me, like, I'm on the podcast. So she won't mind. But from, like, 16 to, like, I think 18, she was a drug addict. And she's now 20 with a beautiful daughter, Valentina, little Valentina. But yeah, she went through hell. I remember just picking her up like probably at like two or three times a week from the most random places, and she was just crying. She would always cry, and like I'd always try and give her advice, and I couldn't, because it was down to her, you know what I mean? But you know, after she had the baby, that's what saved her. Like, Valentina saved her. So now she's like skinny mini. She's happy. She's given her life to God, and she's got a cert 3 and 4 in fitness. She's awesome, a PT now. She's doing bloody amazing. And her daughter Valentina is just happy, healthy. I see them every day. Like, family's a big thing for me, so I go and see them every day. And the reason why I look up to Jesus is just, come on, man. Like, he did what he had to do on the cross. He died for our sins. And I think, like, I was watching a show called The Chosen, and he was so, like, humble and kind, but people were so, like, scared of him because of, like, the presence he held. Like, when he had to flip a switch a little bit, he would, but he was so kind at doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I just remember watching a part in that where they wanted to throw him off, like, a cliff. Mm-hmm. And he just turned around and was like, nah. Like, he was on the edge of the cliff. He was like, nah, not today. Yeah. Like, not today. My time will come, but not right now. So, like, a lot of those things, like, even, like, leading up to Harvey, that resonated with me. I was like, Harvey, like, not today. Like, tonight's my night. You know what I mean? So I'll always bring that with me. And, I mean, I would say I look up to myself now as well because of what I went through last year. That was a tough year, and I was on the brink of death. And if it wasn't, you know, for like my sister, my family, and God, I wouldn't be where I am right now. So, you know, being able to like just be like allow myself to be vulnerable and just open up to those people. I think that takes a lot because I've never wanted to do, like, I'm very embarrassed of talking about my problems, but now I've just talked to them about it. So going from that to where I am now, like, I take pride in that and I always think about that and I do look up to myself for being where I was and where I am now.
Yeah. And as you should, man, like, you know, going through a really hard point in your life and being able to take yourself out of that and be in a peaceful spot where you are now, you know, yes, you had God there, you had Jesus there, you had your friends, your family, but at the end of the day, it was you that made that choice to, okay, I'm going to, you know, make a change in my life and be better. And that is a pat on the back for you. And even people listening right now, like, that is a massive thing that people can learn. Like, you know, look up to God, look up to, speak up about it. It's the biggest thing you can do about your mental health. Just really speak up about it. And for other people that are listening that want to get into MMA, even if they want to compete or take that path of getting in the gym, what is a piece of advice you would give to them?
I thought about this for a long time.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, what I can say to you is, it's going to sound so stupid, but, like, you've heard the Nike slogan, just do it. Like, that's literally what it is.
Just go for it, yeah. Because
you can talk to someone about it. Like, I have a friend, my mate Hayden. I love him so much. Hayden Truslove. I know you're going to be watching this. He told me he always procrastinates and procrastinates. I'm like, bro, just step in the fucking gym. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just do it. And he's like, all right, I got you Wednesday. Wednesday goes, hey, bro, I'm not coming. All I can say to you is, like, just do it. You know, it's there for you. It's always going to be there. So you might as well just start now. And like, I know you might go to a gym and you see, like, people with tattoos and black eyes and big cauliflowers, but if you look past that, the majority of them are beautiful people.
They are, man.
Including myself. Like, I'm not that ugly. Like, my nose is a bit wonky and may have a couple of bruises, but that's it. Like, I'm actually a nice person. But yeah, if you look past that, just do it.
Yeah,
literally, yeah.
100%. You just go, yeah, because like you said, like, it's always going to be there. Like, I think we all have a mate like that says, like, you know, they're going to do something, but you just got to get in there, man. The earlier you do it, the better. So, you know, now just a couple mental questions. You know, this is the athlete's mind, so we do like asking a bit about this. Would you say there's ever times where, and I know you have actually spoken about this a lot on the podcast already, but sort of experienced burnout, and not so much physically but mentally, where your schedule has just been a little bit overwhelming with your training, and how have you sort of implemented any stress management strategies throughout that burnout?
So before, I used to get, like, real stressed out about it, and after a while I started looking at certain people, like, at the gym, because there's so many fighters, I noticed what they would do. And so I was just like, just be at peace with whatever decision you make and be at peace with whatever happens. Whatever happens, happens, is meant for a reason. Like, I just say, like, you might have a day where you have to work, like, back. Okay, well, I can't go to training. It is what it is. Maybe it's just a day where I have to rest and just deal with it. Or, like, there's just so many different things that can get in the way. Like, today, for example, my dad's car broke down and I was meant to do a strength session with Alex Torres before sparring. And I was like, look, man, I can't make it. Like, I've got to go help my dad take him to work, literally. So, things like that. But, yeah, if anything ever gets in the way and you're having, like, hard weeks and you're feeling stressed about it, like, what I do is I'll just pray about it, accept what is, and just be happy with it. Like, if I have to train somewhere else, I will. And if I can't, then I'll just go see my family and have a great time eating some brownies or something, literally. Yeah. So I guess what I can say is, everyone says it, enjoy the process. Yeah. Even if things are getting in the way, just enjoy the process. Yeah,
100%. And I guess what sort of motivates you when, you know, times are hard and, you know, when training might be hard? Is there something that you think to, whether that's your family or your supporters, that just pushes you that extra mile and, you know, maybe put in an extra rep or an extra round in sparring? What's that one thing that motivates you?
I think I always think about, what did I go through? Always, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Like, I remember I was doing rounds with Cody, and that was last week, and I was like, to Ramel, I'm done. Like, I don't go any more rounds with me. And I was like, Lorenz, like, you got two more, I reckon. You got two more. Just think about what you went through last year. Think about everything you went through, what your brother went through, what your sister went through, you know, what your family went through. It's basically me and my family, whatever I think about. So I always go back to that. And then I reset myself, And I remember that day, I was just like, all right, Ramel, I got two more rounds of me. Let's do it. Like, I'm being a pussy. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good, man. Yeah, fair enough. So, yeah, that is huge. Like, I've had some people actually say similar to you. They always think about where they were that pushes them, because at the end of the day, pushing you is what got you to the spot you're in now. So if you can continue to do that, you'll get to a better spot. And just to finish off, what is next for you in the MMA journey? I mean, you did mention, I don't know if this was before we actually started recording, but you're looking to fight in maybe 5 weeks on Domination. Looking forward the next couple of years, next year or so, what's sort of the goals you've set out for yourself?
So I do want to have 3 or 4 more wins, whether I get on Domination or not. I'm not too fussed. I'm still carrying, my foot is still pretty bad from kicking Harvey's big legs so much. But yeah, I want to have at least 3 or 4 more wins and then go for an amateur title if I can, if that's available at all. I'm currently looking at getting a 66 now. Cool. So I normally fight at 70.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, 66, and then hopefully this will be my last year as an amateur and we go to pro. But yeah, whatever happens, happens. At the end of the day, I'm cool with it.
Just quickly, you mentioned that you want to go to 66. Is cutting weight something that you find hard? Because I even saw, like, when I was at the Eternal event, Wes Kappa, he actually talked a little bit about cutting weight and how he found it really hard. Is that something that you struggled with, or is that...
So previously, when I was at my recent gym, I had no guidance in cutting weight. I didn't know what I was doing. So... yeah, it was hard. Like, I remember I was coming into fights, like, super lethargic and, like, I could barely breathe. There was one fight I had where I cut, like, 4 or 5 kilos in one day, and it just left me, like...
Jeez, man.
And that was a 3-day notice fight. Like, I remember just being in that spotlight, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. So, leading up to this fight against Harvey... shout out to Quillen. He gave me his little secret sauce, his little routine, and I stuck with it. And it was the most, like, easiest, like, best weight cut I ever did. Mm. Like, weight cuts are always shit. Like, no one likes cutting weight, you know, like sitting in a sauna or a hot bath. Yeah. Like, it sucks. But that was the easiest. It took me about, like, 3 hours, I think, just because we were taking our time with it. Like, we'd get in the bath. I mean, not the bath. We'd get in the sauna, wrap my blankets around for, like, 5 minutes, and I'd check weight, we're all good. I'd chill for like 30-40 minutes and then I'd repeat the process. But it only took me like 3 times and I was like set. I was happy. So yeah, going weight cut can be tough if you don't have guidance, and it also depends on like how much you're losing on the week. Like if you're losing like an excessive amount, like 10 plus, like yeah, you're definitely gonna struggle. But like maybe under, like I know Quillen cuts about 8.
Yeah, geez, okay.
I cut about 6 or 7, so yeah, like for that fight I did anyways, and I felt great. So yeah, I was like, and I knew the work we had done was like all for this. So yeah, coming into the fight, I was like, oh yeah, I feel good.
Yeah, yeah. I've just always been curious about that. It's like just with weight cutting, like all the people I've interviewed on here say different things about it, but as long as you're doing it in a healthy way, I guess, like that's
I think that's the healthiest way. Just like, I think 7, like 8 more is definitely not like healthy.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you can, it just depends on how you're doing. Like if you're fasting through the week and just like training just to sweat it out, like that's some like messed up stuff right there. But like I remember actually I was real sick the first 3 days. I don't know what happened, but I just got a bug and I was like bedridden for like 3 days, and I was like, okay, just relax, like it's gonna be okay. You got the weight cut sorted. But after that, was all good.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, because and that's the thing, like you know, getting sick and stuff like that. Like that's not part of the plan. Like anything can happen, and that can influence the weight cut. So it's a massive thing. But yeah, that's gonna wrap up the episode.
So
thank you so much, man, for joining us. I always love the MMA episodes. And who knows, maybe we'll get some more people from LCA on here.
That'd
be wicked.
Some stories on there.
For sure, man. But yeah, I wish you the best for the future of your career.
Thank you.
And just quickly, for everyone listening, this will be on YouTube, Spotify. Those are our 2 main, and all our other podcast platforms. Go and check it out. And just a quick announcement, our clothing will be out officially in a couple weeks. This is your last chance to pre-order today, actually, when this episode drops. So send me a message. I'll get you sorted out. Appreciate all the support. I'll catch you guys in the next episode. Thank you.